From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are glad you decided to join with us for today's program. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for a message from God's Holy Word. In addition, we'll have some Christ-honoring sacred music, as well as the hot topic of the day. Continuing his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns directs our attention to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, the account of the Lord Jesus walking on the water. As we'll see, there are many wonderful spiritual lessons to be drawn from this account, especially that in our times of deepest need, Christ comes to us and brings his calming voice. First, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, the Protestant Reformation.
October 31st, 1517, marked the birth of the Protestant Reformation. On that day, an unknown black-coated Augustinian monk in an obscure German town walked to the castle church and nailed a paper he had written in Latin to the door of the church. That monk was Martin Luther, and his paper contained his now famous 95 Theses, his argument against the pernicious traffic in indulgences that the Pope was using to raise funds for his building program at the Vatican. Within 2 weeks, those inauspicious hammer blows, as Luther nailed his thesis to the church door, began to change Germany and Europe forever. Soon the Pope himself felt the power of the German monk's criticisms. At that point in history, their power was well nigh irresistible. The Protestant Reformation had been launched, unwittingly it must be said, for Luther had no intention of breaking with Rome. Indeed, he believed that the scandal of the seal of indulgences must have been taking place without the Pope's knowledge or consent. Surely, once the Pope learned how John Tetzel was denying the gospel, he would move against him. But Luther was wrong in this assessment. He was right in the thing that mattered, which was the truth that the gospel of free grace is received by faith in the merits of Christ, not bought by paying for indulgences. That truth lies at the heart of the Protestant Reformation in all its legitimate branches. Luther had learned the truth of justification by faith after a long night of personal turmoil, during which he, as a faithful son of the Church of Rome, had sought to gain salvation by works, sacraments, suffering, and service. He was overwhelmed with a sense of his sin and of the righteousness or justice of God. The phrase, the righteousness of God, struck fear into him. To him it meant that God, in wrath, was ready to strike him down and cast him into hell. Then he learned that in Paul's writing, the phrase, the righteousness of God, means the righteousness that God has provided for believers in Christ. He entered into the liberating truth of Romans 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. This is the gospel that Luther began to teach. This is the truth that underlay his protest against Rome's trade in pardon by payment for indulgences. He soon learned that the Pope was furious. Summoned to appear before the Diet of Worms, the emperor presiding, and commanded to recant his doctrines, he uttered one of the most illustrious statements ever made. Unless I am convinced from Holy Scripture, I cannot and I will not recant. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Rome did all it could to murder Luther and failing that, to muzzle him. But Luther was neither murdered nor muzzled, and lived to see the Reformation he had unwittingly begun sweep across Europe. This month we celebrate what the Lord did through the Reformation. We are heirs of that great work, the greatest revival since Pentecost. Under God, we owe our civil and religious liberty to it. And we owe it to our God and to those who gave us this rich heritage to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and to proclaim the gospel of a free justification on the sole merit of Christ, received by faith alone, to a world that needs it as urgently today as it did in Luther's day.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Now we're turning this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, continuing our studies in the life of Christ. We come to one of the most familiar of all the events in the Savior's life. Verse 22. And reading to the end of verse 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word, for his name's sake. Following the feeding of the 5,000 miraculously by the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in John chapter 6 that the Jews were seized with a powerful messianic fever and fervor. They determined to lay hold upon the Lord Jesus and to make him their king. That is, a king after their own notion of what Messiah should be, not a king after the biblical definition of what Messiah should be. And therefore the Lord Jesus took immediate action to curb their desire. First, he sent his disciples away by sea, while he remained to disperse the crowd, at least for a time. Following which, he retired to a mountainside, where in solitude he spent the hours in prayer and in fellowship with his Father in heaven. From John's account of this event, it appears clear that Christ's reason for sending his disciples away by sea while he himself remained was because of this fervor or this fever that had gripped the Jews. It appears to me to indicate that the Lord Jesus saw that his disciples would have been in imminent danger of being sucked into this mood of the Jews and may themselves have become more of a hindrance to him than a help. So he sent them away. Another reason, obviously, for sending them away is that he foresaw and foreknew his program of evangelism that they couldn't. And so he got them on their way in a way that they could reach places they would not have done if they had simply stayed behind. But as they went They launched, as they had done many, many, many times, onto the Sea of Galilee. And alone on the sea, that sea which is really barely worthy of the name of a sea, according to the standards of the world, it's a lake. It's called the Lake of Gennesaret as well. But it's 600 feet below the level of the Mediterranean. If you look at the mountains and hills around the side, around the sides of it, you'll see deep gouges of time and weather there that seem to act as funnels that bring the air down to cause mighty and unexpected and turbulent storms that whip that lake up into the frenzy of a most unfriendly sea. They were alone in the sea and they ran afoul of bad weather. Now for them that was nothing new. At least the fishermen among them were used to the vagaries and the violence of the Sea of Galilee. So they manfully took to the oars and struck out for the shore. But this was a storm such as they had not rowed in before. And if you follow carefully the details of the narratives in Matthew, Mark, and John, you'll find that after some 9 hours of rowing, they managed to cover no more than 3 to 3.5 miles. The scripture tells us they toiled in rowing. The word toiled hardly carries the force of the original. They were distressed in rowing. Campbell Morgan suggests that we would translate it, they were tormented in rowing. You see, these men whose arms were made brawny from years of rowing against the currents and the tides of the Sea of Galilee, reduced now to quivering hulks of flesh with their strength just about gone, tormented and distressed. Then Jesus came, walking on the water. I want you to emphasize that. The Lord Jesus could just as well have stood on the shore and said, "Peace be still," and there would have been a great calm, but He didn't do it. Indeed, the Lord Jesus could have ordered it so that there was no storm at all, but He didn't do it. He let them ride through the storm until they were brought to the very last ounce of their physical and mental energy. And then He came walking on the water. And amazingly, as Mark tells us, He did not walk to them, but He walked past them. And seeing Him walk past, they cried out in fear because they thought they saw a spirit. Crying out in fear, it appears rather amazing that they were within an inch of death. The waves were battering their little bark. Their oars would make no further progress for them. Their strength was gone. Their minds were just about at the end of all hope and energy. Yet we don't read of any fear or any cries on that account. But they see a spirit. Strange, not only the fascination, but the fear that the supernatural invokes in men or evokes from them. So they cried out. And Jesus spoke. This is why we sang a new hymn this morning. There is no love like the love of Jesus. We'll see that as we proceed. But there is no voice like the voice of Jesus. And amidst the howling of the wind and the raging of the sea, there came with great clarity the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that calmed their fears, even though for the moment, at His own sovereign will, it did not calm the waters. I want you to understand this. The waters were still raging. The storm was still howling. Their lives appeared still to be in imminent danger. But His voice said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Caught up in the storm, battered and afflicted, "I am here. Therefore, be not afraid."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.